All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Rockwood United Methodist Church's Sunday morning worship service on this somewhat dreary, very February day. It's wonderful to see all of you here. It's also Valentine's Day, so if anybody has forgotten about that, you still have a little bit of time. The good news is that pretty soon everything will go on clearance, so you can get it at a deep discount. A few announcements this morning. We will not have Wednesday night Bible study because we will have our Ash Wednesday service at 5 p.m. this Wednesday here at the church. And we'll still do the imposition of the ashes, but I'll wear a mask, you guys will wear a mask, and I'll wear gloves to impose the ashes. That way we can be as safe as possible. So 5 o'clock Wednesday night, we will have that here. And the only other announcement that I can think of is that a few people have responded to our call for updated contact information, but some people we don't have. Mostly, it's we don't have the right phone numbers for. The last phone numbers that we may have had were landlines or something like that, and people got rid of their landlines and went straight to their cell phones. Or sometimes they had their, cell phones to change numbers and that kind of stuff. So if you think that you might need to update it, just send Wanda an email or leave her a message on the church's voicemail, something like that. And thank you to all of those who have done that so far, and that way I can make sure that I can contact people and see how everybody's doing, that kind of stuff, since we're in this period of limited contact. So other than that, there's not anything else that I can think of as far as announcements go. So let us begin our worship service with the chiming of the hour. Thank you. as you're able to, please stand for our first hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. We will sing all of the verses. And for those of you who are watching at home, if you have a hymnal, it's number 400. Thank you for remaining standing as we affirm our faith together with the Apostles' Creed, number 881, in the United Methodist Hymnal. Let us affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we'd like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. And I come with a few. If you will, keep the Snipes family in your prayers. They headed up to Virginia on Thursday. And as you all probably know, Mike and Beth have a new granddaughter. And they were having her baptism today, actually. So they should be probably in the process of that. So, and they were going to celebrate Brett's birthday and all those kinds of things. So if you will, just keep them in your prayers for travel and safety when they head back and everything. Also, I'd asked y'all to pray for my friend Emma's uncle. And he had a heart attack. The good news is he survived the heart attack. And they were able to put stents in him and that kind of thing. And he's doing okay. The bad news is she lives in the United Kingdom, and so does he. And if y'all haven't paid attention, they're having it really rough with COVID, especially with a variant that they have over there. And so he wasn't able to stay in the hospital as long as probably they would like to have him stay, just because they're so overwhelmed with COVID patients. So just keep him in your prayers, if you will, as he recovers, mostly at home. Also, Bud over at Chevrant is having some back trouble today, and he's asked for prayers from everybody. And I'm also having back trouble. It happens to the best of us, I guess. So a lot of people are nodding their heads. We're brothers and sisters in back pain. So when I was at Asbury Chapel, there was a guy there. I'd hurt my back while I was over there, while I was pastoring over there. And one of the members came up to me. He said, "Now don't worry. I used to have really bad back problems. And when I hit 60, it just cleared up." I'm like, "Well, thanks. I've got, you know, a few years to go before I can have relief." That's what I'm thinking. It might have worked for him, but I'm expecting the other side to go out when I turn 60. So, but if y'all will keep me in your prayers, I would appreciate it. Does anyone else have any requests or praises they would like to share with us? Yes, sir. Okay. All right. Does anyone else have any requests or praises they'd like to share? Yes, sir. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share with us? All right, well, if not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we can spend together in fellowship with one another and in worship of you. Lord, we invite your Spirit to dwell amongst us as we attempt, with your help, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Today we come before you with requests for healing, requests for safety, Lord. We are reminded that we are strong creatures and yet we are frail creatures. When we study the things that our bodies can withstand, it's absolutely amazing. But then when we think about how easily we can be hurt, it's amazing as well. Help us, Lord, to remember all of those who are hurting. Not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually. May you be with all those who are mentioned today, with Dave's son and his family who are dealing with COVID, and Richard's sister who's also dealing with COVID. May you be with Bud and with myself as we have back issues, and the many others who have troubles with their backs in one way or the other. May you be with Emma's uncle as he recovers from a heart attack. And Lord, we thank you, we praise you that the Snipes family is baptizing a child today, welcoming them into the family of Christ. We thank you for the promise of new life, and the symbolism and the promise of resurrection life. May you be with them as they celebrate this time, and as they travel back, may you keep them safe. Lord, we pray all these things and so many more in the beautiful and glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we pray together the words he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As you're able to, please stand for our next hymn, Are Ye Able? We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 4, and it is number 530 for those of you who are at home and may have a hymnal. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we'd like to say a blessing over our offering. And just as a quick reminder, you can give in either of the baskets at the two entrances. You can also give online on both of our Facebook pages. And you can also mail in your gift, drop it off at the mailbox, or bring it by whenever you see mine or Wanda's car. So, however you decide to give your tithe and your offering, we just ask that you follow the prompting of the Lord and of the Holy Spirit. At this time, let us say a blessing over our tithes and offerings. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. As we prepare to give back of those blessings, we're reminded that we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers. May you bless the receivers. May all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. At this time, we are going to have some special music from our two wonderful musical performers here. So please enjoy our special music. Thank you, Clayton and Elena. Next Sunday, Elena's going to do that on a snowboard. So, see if she can break something else. How are you doing, by the way, Elena?
Oh, I'm great. I got my mask.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad to hear it. Clayton and I decided last Sunday that you're not allowed to go snowboarding anymore. So, no, that's true. So, as you're able to, please stand for the reading of Scripture. Our Scripture today is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. Paul writes, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face." Bless you. "Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. So as I said a little bit earlier in the service, today is Valentine's Day, in case you didn't get the memo. And it's the day that we celebrate love, usually romantic love, but love in general. And it's kind of funny that we celebrate it because that we name it at least after Saint Valentine, primarily because Saint Valentine died a really horrible death. He had a really horrible martyrdom. And so knowing that about St. Valentine and linking it to Valentine's Day, some people who are maybe a little more cynical say that this is Hallmark's Black Friday, if you will. It's the time of the year that Hallmark makes all their money. And there's truth to that, I think. You know, it's certainly commercialized like so many other holidays. But it still is a time to remind us about love. I've mentioned before that English is in some ways a limited language. English, there's kind of an old joke that languages borrow from each other, but English takes other languages in a back alley and roughs them up and goes through their pockets for other words. And that's really, if you study the different words in English, you start to realize there's a lot of truth to that. English has words that they borrowed from French and German and Spanish and Italian and Greek and Latin. And so when they say that English is one of the hardest languages to master, not necessarily to learn, but to master, because even our grammar rules aren't always true, right? I before E, except after C, right? Except there are quite a number of words that doesn't work with. One of those is the word fein, F-E-I-G-N. There's no C in the word fein, but I doesn't come before it, right? That's why sometimes, you know, you'll see people who spell rain, for instance, like a king reigns, R-I-E-G-N. It's because they're thinking, there's no C there. But those types of things are because we borrow from other languages. There are some words, like, for instance, psychology, right? Why is there a P at the beginning of psychology? We don't pronounce it. What's it there for? Well, it's because it comes from the Greek word psuche, which is mind. And in Greek, you pronounce the P at the beginning. But English tends towards laziness, and so if we can drop a few sounds, we do. So English is this strange language, and one of the strangest things about English is our word love. I've mentioned it before, I'm sure. How many of you have ever said, I really love my mom. She's going to get me pizza for my birthday, and she knows how much I love pizza. Now, wait a minute. You love your mom and you love pizza the same way? No, that seems kind of ridiculous, right? By the same token, you don't love your spouse like you love your dog. At least I hope you don't. Some people love their dogs more than they love their spouse. Because as the joke goes, if you take your wife and you take your dog and you lock them in the trunk of the car for an hour and you come back, the dog's happy to see you, the wife's not so happy to see you, right? And that's kind of the case with any relationship. But we understand that you don't love your wife or your husband like you might love your dog, or like you might love pizza, or like you might love your mom or your child, or like you might love to hear me preach every Sunday, which I know all of you do. Love is a strange word in English. We use it to mean all kinds of things. The Greeks had multiple words for love. Greek is kind of an interesting language. It's the only more interesting language to me than Greek is German, because if you ever study German, German has words about this long to explain a specific emotion that happens in a specific circumstance at a specific time to specific people, right? And those are the only words, those words are only in German, right? I mean, Germans can tell you how you feel when the first measure of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony starts to play, and they can get it. It's when you break down the word, it's so exacting. But Greek is fascinating because Greek tries to capture this thing as well, this picture. And so in Greek, there are actually a number of words for love, but scripturally, there are four words that are used for love. The first one, the most basic one, is what they call storge love. Storge is essentially the love that you feel generally. You can have storge love for someone that you don't like, right? Storge love is the love that keeps you from, running over somebody in the road. It's the love that tells you, I just saw this lady drop $20. I should pick it up and give it back to her rather than stick it in my pocket, right? Storge love is the love that you might feel for a relative, where you're like, I don't want to go to Thanksgiving this year because old Uncle Fred's going to be there and he's always so annoying, and I really love him, but I wish he just wouldn't come to Thanksgiving. You know, we have those people in our lives, right? We love them, we don't necessarily like them. Another type of love is phileo. We're actually kind of familiar with the word phileo, even if we don't necessarily know it, because of cities like Philadelphia, right? We have a Philadelphia, Tennessee, not too far from here. And then, of course, there's Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And we know that they call it the city of brotherly love because it's a compound Greek word that takes the word Delphi for city and phileo for love. And phileo is, as we say, you know, brotherly love, it's really just more the love that you have for the people that you care about in general. It's a love you would have for a brother or a sister, but not necessarily flesh and blood brother and sister. It may be, you know, in the military, you have this sort of camaraderie, especially if you've been through something like war or a difficult time, where you love this person because you have a bond that nobody else can understand. There's nothing romantic about it. It's just a love from a bond that you have from having dealt with difficult things. And so phileo falls in there, but it also, again, it falls into the love that you have for a good friend, those types of things. Then we have eros. We all know what eros is, or at least we think we do. English, as I said, likes to go through the pockets of other languages, and we like to take words and morph them into what they never originally were intended to mean. Eros is simply romantic love. It's the love that you feel, it's the great affection that you feel for a spouse or someone you're dating, something to that effect, right? It's not anything dirty or anything like that. It's just that genuine affection that you feel for a spouse that you don't feel for, say, your brother or for your mother or your child or, you know, that type of thing. And as I say, unfortunately, we've kind of turned it into something really, really crude, unfortunately. Then there's the fourth love, agape love. Now, thanks again to the way that English goes, you may get confused when you see agape because it looks like the word agape, because it's spelled the same way, except agape has a little accent to help you out. What is agape love? Agape love, we usually say, is godly love, sacrificial love. It's the love Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 13. The difference between agape love and all the other loves is that in all the other loves, I am either the center or at least a co-sharer in love. Think about that, right? Brotherly love, sisterly love. Why do you love this person? You love them because they love you, right? If you have the brotherhood camaraderie of, you know, being in the trenches together, as they say, you love this person because they keep you safe. You keep them safe, but they keep you safe, right? Eros, you love this person because they bring you joy and pleasure and things such as that. But agape love gives up itself for the object of its love. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 is addressing a significant issue that's going on in the church in Corinth. What's happening is that some people are having the fruit of the Spirit, or the gifts of the Spirit, actually. And the biggest thing they're doing is they're speaking in tongues. Some people are speaking in tongues. Anybody ever been to a Pentecostal church service? People speak in tongues? Yeah. I've been to some that are, you know, just your run-of-the-mill. I've been to some that are really, really strange. You know, but I went to one where a woman ran up and down the front of the church barking. But the one thing they all have in common, not all of them have women running up and down the front of the church barking, the one thing they all have in common is that at some point you will probably encounter somebody speaking in tongues. And a lot of people that I know that are of the more Pentecostal side of things, they put a lot of emphasis on speaking in tongues. And I think that the reason for that is the same reason that the church in Corinth did it. Because everybody can see you speak in tongues, right? I mean, if I got up here and I just started prophesying in tongues or something like that, and Richard started interpreting for everybody, you would all notice it, right? Some of you would go, wow, that's amazing. Some of you would go, man, you know, Richard and Sam are trying to get more money in the offering plate, you know. And some of you might be like, Sam had, you know, communion wine before church this morning, you know. People would have different ideas, but you would all see it. You would all experience it. You can't experience somebody's gift of faith. You can see evidence of their gift of faith, but you can't experience it like you can tongues. And so what was going on here was that the tongue-speaking folk were making themselves out to be better than the people who didn't speak in tongues. And Paul tells them, at the end of chapter 12 there, he says, you're the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. In the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And then he says, and now I will show you the most excellent way. And then 1 Corinthians 13 comes and Paul talks about agape love. Basically what Paul is telling them is this. Whatever you do, if you don't do it with sacrificial love, who cares? It's worthless. It doesn't mean it doesn't accomplish things, but eternally, it's worthless. It has no value. Paul says all these beautiful things about love. I think probably the most important thing that Paul says about love, though, is it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. If you have never loved someone, with severe mental health problems, physical health problems, or addictions, it would be difficult for you to fully appreciate what Paul is saying here. Not that you can't, you absolutely can. But those extreme circumstances where people on the outside say, you know that if you give them money, they're just going to go down to the liquor store, or they're going to go over and buy some drugs, or they're going to do this, that, thus, and so. It's easy for me to say to the mother or the father of somebody who is dealing with that, but to be the mother or the father of somebody who's dealing with that, it's not so easy. But that's how God loves us, because guess what? We're addicted to sin. We're addicted to doing things that go against Jesus. Who in their right mind would ever do what Jesus did willingly? I can tell you who would. Jesus would. But somebody who loves somebody who is destroying themselves, they would too. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you. There are many, many kinds of love. You can love pizza. You can love your mom. There's nothing wrong with that. But whatever you do, if you do not do it out of sincere love for the other, you might as well just not do it. So I encourage you, love as Christ loved. Do as Christ did. And remember, when you feel like you don't matter, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Help us, Lord, to love as Christ loves, knowing that when we fail, Christ still loves us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. And now, brothers and sisters, receive the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may you be blessed with all the blessings of heaven. And taking them, may you give them to all whom you encounter. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are dismissed. Go in peace.